Then you know it, say amen. If you're glad to be in the house of the Lord, say amen. Man, I'm glad that you said amen. That's just going to make it so much better that we all agree. Amen? Well, I'm glad that you're here. You're always such an encouragement to me to see your face here in the Sunday School Hour. Good to have Deborah back with us. She was sick last week. Joanne's out. She took a little fall on Monday night, Debbie said, but she just got checked out and she's okay. So we'll miss her today. And and we, of course, profoundly miss Ray and Geraldine. And he's back at home, Jimmy said. Home is in Karen and Jeff's house. But pray for Ray and Geraldine. We miss them. We miss them. Cannot say that enough. Amen. There you go. Thank you. Well, if you have your Bible this morning, turn over to 1 John chapter 1. While you're turning to 1 John chapter 1, let me just make a small suggestion here. This is such a small book, and we'll go through it even with all my rabbit trails. We'll go through it pretty quick. But these handouts, if I could just make a small suggestion, you would benefit more from each lesson if you review the prior handouts. And that's because the common theme in this little book is having fellowship, being joyful in the family of God. And it is borne out in all five chapters, and it's such a wonderful, wonderful message. So we are in 1 John, and I've chosen to give this little lesson a title. It's a very simple title. God is light. Man is not light. Confession brings the two together. And this is a wonderful message. I hope you enjoy hearing and reading what the Apostle John is trying to tell us. 1 John chapter 1. This will be the third week we have read this passage together. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this time to get into 1 John once again. Help us to see how much of a privilege it is to be a part of the family of God, and how much of a privilege it is to be able to maintain a relationship with God the Father and God the Son and with each other here in the family of God. We pray, God, that you'd be with Ray and Geraldine. Obviously, we've missed them for some time, and they're special to us. I just pray, Lord, that you would make them comfortable in these circumstances in this part of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. So almost 2 full weeks was devoted to the introduction for this book, and there was a reason for that. The concepts of the book of 1 John are so important. As we said a week ago, 1 John was definitely, disagreement on this by historians, 1 John was definitely one of the later books that was written of the Bible. Many historians say it was the last book of the Bible that was written. And so in my little puny brain here, this is what I've come up with. This is the last thing potentially that God would want us to know. If you stop and think about it. Now, that's just me putting my opinion into it. But this must be pretty important for God to arrange to have the Apostle John bring this to us. It must be something that I need to know. Now, 1 John is a family epistle. When we're saved, we're put into the family of God. We have a relationship with the Father, with His Son, and with each other. And that relationship with our Father can be broken when we sin, but it's restored when we confess our sin. And so it's mighty important for you and I as believers, as children in the family of God, to recognize and cautiously guard our relationship with our Father. It's important. Now, John wrote this book that we would have fellowship with him. I tell you what, I've enjoyed this thought. Now, don't leave Sunday school telling anybody that I communicate with the dead. I don't do that, okay? But I have enjoyed this thought right here. John, the Apostle Paul, these fellows were inspired by God to bring to us a message. And in the biblical definition of the word fellowship, which is sharing, the sharing of that which we have in common, I have enjoyed reading these words thinking, well, really, I'm having fellowship with the Apostle John. When I hear Matthew Henry, when I read Matthew Henry's commentary from the 1800s, and we're sharing this. Now, he's been dead a long time, okay? But he's sharing what he finds in the book of 1 John and these other epistles in the New Testament. And I feel like that I'm having fellowship with Matthew Henry in a way now. I don't hear voices or anything. And you can extend that on to the commentaries and the people that we read after and we listen after, like Brother Chris listens to John MacArthur a lot, and so do I, and J. Vernon McGee and R.W. Vincent. Well, these fellows are sharing what they have, the knowledge from the Scriptures, and even though they're nowhere near us, I feel like I'm having fellowship with them, Brother Stacy, and that's just a neat thing to have. He wrote 1 John that we would have fellowship with the Father and with each other. He wrote 1 John that our joy would be what? Full. He wrote the book of 1 John that we would not continue sinning. And so we see all of this come together in this wonderful little book. And many times there's a theme that you, in all these commentaries that you can read, you see a theme for this book, and it's this right here. Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. It's been compared to the Holy of Holies of the New Testament. Now, you remember in the Old Testament, the tabernacle had that room in the back where the presence of God could be found, the Holy of Holies. Well, in the New Testament, the Holy of Holies is said to be in 1 John. It's how we can have fellowship with our Father. It's how it happens. It takes the child of God across the threshold into the fellowship of the Father's house, and that's why this is called a family epistle. Now, we started in verse 1, and we pretty much finished it, but we're going to start there again. In fact, the very first thing on your handout this morning is verse number 1. For you to write in. Now, why do we do that? Well, repetition is important. We remember what we do over and over again. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, why would I spend, or anybody that taught from 1 John chapter 1. Why would we spend so much time upon verse number 1? Well, let me tell you why. John, in that one little verse, is giving us a little viewpoint into the entire book. John is telling us that he has actually had a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's not only watched him, he has gazed upon him. He has closely observed him. We talked about last week how many times Jesus would take his disciples when he was alive upon the earth ministering to people. He would take his disciples off into the mountain and he would spend, the Bible said, much time with them. And they would spend time with the Lord. And that's very important for the child of God to do. David and I were talking about that this morning in the prayer room. How important it is for the child of God to seclude himself or herself and just spend time in the Word. And you know what happens when we do that? God's Word speaks to us. Sometimes it encourages us. Sometimes it tells us we need to do something different. And John says, I've heard him. No doubt in those 3.5 years he heard him say much. He has seen him with his eyes. That, remember that word, just a passing glance. But he also looked upon him. And that word means to gaze with intent, to closely observe, to have a great amount of interest in. And so when we gaze upon the Lord, that's an opportunity for us to grow. We saw the same thing in James chapter 1. Remember when we were there? And I mentioned that briefly last week, how James says it's one thing to just take a passing glimpse of the Word of God. It's something else to continue in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to show you what it wants you to see. Now, the reason John is doing this is because what is so important today for us to have a relationship with the Father is to be personal with him. Your handout says, consider the close, personal, and real relationship that each child of God should have with the Father by doing these things with his Son, Jesus Christ. He says he's heard him. That has to do with what goes into our ears. Hey, listen. We're human beings. We have emotions. And we have passions, don't we? Pat, you have passions. I know Pat has a passion. And God's going to speak to us through our emotions and our passions. So what are you listening to? I can speak from experience here because, you know, at times I'm just like you. You're not always good stewards. I'm not always a good steward of what goes into my ears, okay? Maybe it's things you're listening to. Maybe there's nothing wrong with what you listen to, but it's just not what's good for the child of God. John says, I've heard him. He says, I've seen him. As that word seen is a passing glance made with our eyes. And John says, I've not only seen him with a passing glance made with my eyes, I've looked upon him. And as your handout says, it means to gaze with intent, to look upon with great interest, and to closely observe. The look saves, but the gaze sanctifies. We looked upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We trusted him as our Savior. We repented of our sins. That's the look. But how we grow as a child of God, how we are sanctified and made more like him, is the gaze. It's closely observing him. This is how we grow our relationship with the Father, by gazing upon his Son. What's important to God the Father? What's important is for Linda and Dwayne to gaze upon his Son, to have a relationship with his Son. And that verse finished out of the Word of Life, and that refers to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, personal questions, page 1 at the bottom. How much time do we spend with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? How much time do we spend listening to him as we read his word in the privacy of our alone time with him. How much time do we spend listening to him together with our family in the house of God? Back to this right here. We're human beings with emotions and passions. Amen? Well, I know we got one human being over here. We're human beings, and so we are influenced by what we are a part of. Amen? Now, you know, we're from a generation that goes to church 3 times a week, are we not? Yeah. The generation of today is not used to that. Great many, probably most churches in Lubbock will have a service on Sunday morning, and then they might have a service scattered throughout the week of some sort. But things are changing. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say that's a matter of right and wrong. But what I will say, it is unfortunate because we, no matter who we are and how old we are, we need the influence of the Word of God. That's the way it works. Our Lord wants to influence how we think, what we think about, how we feel. He wants to give us discretion with our judgment making. So the less time that I spend in this house of God, the less I'm going to get that, right? Yeah. The less time that I'm not, you say, well, I can do that at home. Yeah, we can all do that at home, and we should do that at home. But how much would we do that at home if we stayed at home? I'm just being honest with you. I mean, I got a lot to do at home. You have stuff to do at home, Brother Stacy? This is a structure for me, and I need to be here. Linda, I need to be influenced by this singing that Brother David leads and this preaching that Brother Chris preaches, and by you. Why? Because I'm human, and I need you. When we get all through the book from chapter 2 to about the end of chapter 4, he talks about love for the brethren. And, you know, that's hard to do sometimes, is to love our brothers and sisters, but one of the reasons he wants us to love each other is because we need each other. That's all part about being a part of the family of God. How much time do we spend in fellowship, sharing that which we have in common as we sing praises and worship together here in his house? How much time do we spend either personally or collectively as a family gazing upon him or closely observing him instead of giving him just a passing glance? Once again, I'll give you an illustration. This morning in the men's prayer room, this wasn't planned, but David and I started talking about something, and we had about 5 minutes of just talking wonderfully about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, something that came out in the conversation. We were having fellowship. We were sharing with each other what we had in common in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's all John is saying here. He says, this is important for me to take my ears and listen to him, to take my eyes and closely observe him, to touch him. Our hands have handled. That refers to the closeness of touch. So we go to verse number 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. Now he's talking about Jesus Christ here, but he calls him that eternal life. Now that's such a different meaning for us. When I think of eternal life, when I think of eternity, I think of, you know, I'm like you, we think of time. Well, this is going to go on forever and ever. Well, a good biblical New Testament definition of the words eternal life is Jesus Christ himself. It's a totally different way of thinking. Somebody says, how you know you're going to have eternal life? Well, I'll tell you how I know I'm going to have eternal life. It's because I have Jesus. I know him. It's not about whether if I have a relationship, if I have submitted, if I have repented of my sins, if I am a child of God, I will have eternal life because I have Jesus. And John says, this life, the life of Jesus, was manifested, and we've seen it. We bear witness, we show it to you now, that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. John is saying, top of your page 2 in your handout, he's saying, listen, what I'm telling you about here is something that we've experienced, and he's not just the source of eternal life, but he's eternal life himself. And you can just see in these verses, you can just see John's great desire to point out to the believer how important Christ is. Another thing that is very common in our generation and the generations before us is we were generations of structure. We liked rules. We liked lists. Well, that's good to a point. But when our rules and our list supersede why we even have those rules and those lists, then something is wrong. And one of the bad things in our generation and those generations before us is our list became so important. You want to be a part of this church? You got to do this. You want to be a Christian? You got to do this and this and this. Well, you're kind of forgetting what this is all about here. It's maintaining a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if I need a list, if I know myself, if I am honest with myself and honest with the Lord that I need a list of do's and don'ts, nothing wrong with that. I'm making that determination for myself. But if I impose my list upon Linda, it's not right. She knows what she needs to have list for in her life. And sometimes the things on our list will change, and sometimes they'll be the same thing. And so John's just helping us see what's important here is being close with Jesus Christ. Verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, as I mentioned last week, growing up in a Baptist church, I thought fellowship always had to involve food. Okay? But if I read my Bible correctly here, it may or may not involve food. This morning, for about 5 minutes in the prayer room, I had fellowship with Brother Jenkins, and we weren't eating. Isn't that, you know, be proud of me there. You know, we weren't eating. We were having fellowship, though. We came across a little nugget in the Word of God, and it was just good to talk about it. And when we have fellowship, we share that which is common. You know, you can go to the, you can go get your degree. Leslie got a degree, you know, about 5 years ago in biological engineering, and she wants to go back and get her master's. But when you go to a university and you become an expert in something, you become a fellow. Even ladies become fellows. And what that means is, if I were to go to Texas Tech and learn everything there was to know about any one subject, I mean, if I spent all my time and I went through it and I learned it, I could become a fellow of Texas Tech in that subject. And all it means is these fellows get together and they share what they have in common, whatever that subject is. You talk about it. You share it because you know it and it's in common. Well, we have something in common, and it's our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we should have fellowship together because of that. So our fellowship may involve food, or maybe it doesn't involve food. But your handout says having fellowship with God can be an act of fellowship, giving, praying, some kind of service. But it can also be an experience of fellowship. Paul desired to experience the depths of who Christ was. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. See, here Paul was saying, I want to get to know Christ so much. I want to learn of him so I can be just like him. And so John's declaring these things to us about Christ so that we can have fellowship with him here in this verse. And then here in the next verse, he gives us the second reason that he wrote this book. You remember the first one is that we can have fellowship with the Lord. That's the first reason. The second one is found in verse number 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And John's telling us the reason he's writing to us is that you and I might share together these wonderful things of Christ, that the Spirit of God might make the Lord Jesus and the Father so real to us in such a way that our fellowship would be sweet and that we would have joy together. Can I just say to you that the greatest cure for sadness in the life of the believer is to get into the Word of God and let it show us what's hindering our relationship with Him. The Word of God will do that. I get into the Word of God, and sometimes it says, hey, you know this thing here that you're thinking is not good for you. But it's not wrong. See, this is I'm mimicking a conversation I have with this voice, okay? But it's not wrong. Dwayne, this is not good for you. This is not the best testimony that you could have if you do this thing or if you say this thing, okay? And so John's saying, listen, I want to tell you how to have a joyful life. Your handout says the ultimate goal and aim of studying, preaching, and teaching of the Word of God is to bring conviction to the heart, to bring the need for repentance in a person's life, and to bring joy to the heart. Beverly, you like to be happy. I like to be happy. I like to have joy in my life. And one of the reasons that a child of God can become, now I understand, listen, first of all, we know there are psychological problems and those are, you know, the brain can mess with you, can't it? Yeah, it sure can. Bam was talking about all the medications she's taking right now. Medications can mess with your brain. But overall, in the life of a believer, one of the reasons we do not have joy in our life is because we don't have a good relationship with the Lord. We don't get into His Word. He's never got an opportunity to bring joy to us because we don't let it affect us like He wants it to. Consider what happened. This is in the middle of page 2. Consider what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch after the Word of God pricked his heart. And I wanted to write, we could have turned to these scriptures, but I went ahead and put them in the handout because this is such a neat concept. Here Philip's going along and he sees this fella in a chariot, okay? And this fella's reading the Word of God, the scriptures. And Philip goes up to him and says, hey, you understand what you're reading? And the guy says, well, how can I if nobody's explaining to me? So Philip, in verse 35, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Verse 37 says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, took him somewhere, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. That's why we're here. It's not so that we can proselytize everybody in Slayton to be a Baptist church member. It's to bring joy to their heart that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what he wants us to do, to have joy in our belief with him. Now, verses 1 through 4 was the prologue to this chapter. And now in verse number 5, he's going to throw us a little curveball. Okay? This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Here we find ourselves in a little bit of a jam, okay? When you hear that God is light, it speaks of his perfection and his glory and his wonder, his justice, okay? When you go into a dark room, you turn on the light, that light chases away the darkness, doesn't it? And as long as the light's on, the darkness is not there. The Bible describes God as the light because he is perfect, because there is no flaws in him. And here James is talking about having fellowship, the sharing of which we have in common. Well, how can we do that if we're not the same way as the Lord? Some of you ladies may have a mirror in your bathroom or maybe in your bedroom. And it's a small mirror that's got a light on it, and you flip the light on, you look into the mirror so you can see what needs corrected. See if your head's shaking. You must have some. Light brings out the flaws, doesn't it? The light helps you see what needs attention. And so here James says, listen, this is the message we have heard of him and declaring to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And well, how are you going to have fellowship? How are you going to share that which you have in common if God is light and we are not? How in the world can we who have these fleshly, imperfect, sinful, messed up brains, how can we have fellowship with a God who is perfect and who is full of light? The Apostle Paul dwelt on this in Romans a lot. He says in Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Paul says, I want to do good, but I find myself doing just the opposite. And then he says in chapter 3, verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." He says in chapter 8, verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." See, we're nothing like God. We're on the opposite end of the spectrum. We're light years away in the opposite direction from God. Even God himself said in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So how are you going to have fellowship with somebody like God? And us being somebody like us. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Well, we're nothing like God in and of ourselves. So in verse number 5, John presents us with a dilemma. Hey, you got a problem. You need to have fellowship with God, but God's perfect. You're not. What you going to do? And we're almost out of time. Well, the first way, he's going to give us three ways, okay? We won't get through them probably all the way through next week, but maybe we can. He gives us three potential ways to have fellowship with the Father, but only one of them is going to work. Now, you and I are good at the first one, and we're good at the second one, but they don't work. The third does work, and it's a wonderful way that we can have fellowship with the Lord. But you got to tune in next week because we got to go. I hope you have an opportunity to read ahead and read this verse slowly, read this chapter slowly, and try to see what those three ways are yourself before you even come to class. Okay. Brother Albert, would you dismiss us in